are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
With my life.
I literally am not.
I know.
Yeah.
You've been on the trajectory for a while.
And by the trajectory, you mean downward. Downward is the one you speak of. This trajectory you speak of.
An accounting we call that. You're not in the money. You're not in.
I lost unemployment.
Did you really?
The election. Well, yeah, because when I worked the election, they messed up the election in Dallas County so bad that I was supposed to work part-time. I ended up having to work full-time because the machines were so bad that they had to way overstaff so that the lines wouldn't be like 5 hours long.
Right.
And then I lost unemployment and I refiled for it and they have not.
Well,
not updated.
At least the election went the way that you wanted.
I think it was all so worth it. Dallas County elections did a great job with it. You know, everything went awesome. People treated me really well, and I got my desired outcome. Just awesome in every way.
I accidentally deleted your email. No, I found it.
It's in Drive.
I got it.
It's in Drive, honey.
Good movie. Hot Kiss Alert. I hope I don't spoil it for anybody.
That's such a funny takeaway. Like, I love the kiss in Drive. So sexy.
I know when he's like, listen.
When his face like turns into full like
they're
Joker.
On the elevator. Mm-hmm. She's like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, folks, maybe get some culture.
Baby. Drive on back to 2011. Okay.
Baby, go watch Baby Driver. That's a different thing.
Oh, have you been watching Severance? Speaking of Baby Driver.
Oh.
Have you read the Lexington letter?
If it's not a Morgan letter, I'm not touching it.
Well, it's like additional lore that Ben Stiller wrote. And it's like kind of funny. It's about this like bus driver named Peggy. And she's like, I was so young when I became a bus driver. All the kids called me Baby Driver after the action film of the same name. Anyway,
fine.
She works at Lumen as an MDR person, too. And it's just like some more clues, some more lore and clues.
When I go like this, I look like I'm blowing. I hate additional lore.
No, I love it. My drag name would be Lauren Cluse.
I don't want to know extra. Like when
I want
unless
it.
We're talking about the TV show. I don't want to read your foreword in your book. I don't want to read anything like that. What is a foreword? What's a prelude or a prologue? Or like, it's like enough. Like
I just now realized you were talking about the show Extra, Extra, and not Extras with Ricky Gervais.
Ooh,
sorry.
No,
okay,
I was
go back
talking
to what
about Extras with Ricky Gervais.
It's a good show, dude.
Not bad.
Like, honestly, his best work.
Controversial character alert. But you know what? I don't know if it's him or I think we just don't give enough credit to Stephen Merchant.
Although Stephen Merchant, his solo show, I'm like,
is he racist? Let's get that going.
Let's get that. He'll be our next deep dive. Stephen Merchant, is he racist? The people want to know. The Bravo fans are demanding.
They're thirsting for that information. There's no other way to figure it out.
Word.
People are like, we need all eyes on Stephen Merchant, which is hard. You know, it's hard to spot him in a crowd. He's only like 20 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. And glasses.
And glasses.
Okay. Well, good morning, students. I'm Lauren
Davis. I'm Michelle Davis.
And we are Bravo Breakdowns. We're going to continue this deep dive trajectory. Thank you to everyone who watched our Bethany deep dives. If you haven't or listened, if you haven't, go back because we really got some good tea. And due to popular request, today we're going to launch into the psyche.
Oh,
of another Real Housewives of New York Roni OG.
Oh boy,
she is the moment.
She is the moment.
The moment.
Yeah. Stephen Merchant is in the zeitgeist again. This one is too.
This one is too. And this one, we don't have to crack the question: is she racist? Because there's a lot of documented evidence that we will get into at the end of the lesson.
Right.
So this is our deep dive on Ramona Singer. Now, this is going to be a little different than the Bethany deep dive because with Ramona, like, there's so much. There's so much mystery that we'll kind of never know.
Right.
You know, who could really understand? I think that, like, if she had a therapist for 50 years, the therapist would still not fully understand the way that mingy little mind works, you know?
Yeah, they wouldn't want to.
No, no. I think that, like, the second you understand her, you become her. Like, when a detective becomes a serial killer because they become too obsessed, you know? And no one wants that.
Jodie Foster on the case.
Yeah, we need a Clarice. Who would be Ramona's Hannibal?
Probably, like, Sonia.
Sonia, probably.
Just when Sonia's, like, pretending to be vegan, but she's, like, so hungry.
Yes, when Sonia's doing her juice cleanse, so they put her in a straitjacket and, like, a mask so she can't have food and, like, push Lexapro and water pills in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. I can see that. Make it.
Yeah,
make it, Hollywood.
That's actually scarier than anything Hannibal's ever done.
So true.
Hannibal Burris
famously did a deep dive about Bill Cosby on stage, which caused him to be
which wasn't
busted.
Even that deep. He was like, he people.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? Right before we get into Ramona, just a short tangent. Isn't that crazy?
Trigger warning.
We know that, like, we know this stuff in comedy before, like, everyone else. Like, we all knew about, like,
Todd
Glass. We weren't sure, but wait, that he was gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew Todd Glass was gay. We knew that Louis C.K., we'd heard rumors that he was a predator.
The room was in the nastiness.
The room was in nastiness. And we didn't know how serious it was. And Bill Cosby was like, you know.
That was around forever. Yeah. Everyone knew.
But really, I think it was comedy. It was like within 3 months of comedy. I remember where I was when I started comedy and someone told me about Bill Cosby. And I remember where I was when someone told me about Louis C.K. too.
Yeah. And then I remember where I was when I think it was Hannibal Burris talked about it on his Comedy Central Presents. I don't know if it was a Comedy Central Presents.
Da, 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 da. He opens with Bill Cosby is a...
And people are like, whoa.
Okay, I have a lot more to say about this, but I'm going to save it for my oral exam.
I can't move my face. Somebody got Botox.
Oh, it looks really good.
I really can't move.
Your brows look good.
I know.
You only got 10 units?
Yeah, she wouldn't give me any more.
You really didn't need any more. Like, you honestly probably could have done 5. If you're motionless with 10 units, like, this is me,
this
like,
is
3
me
months after
furrow.
30.
30? She wouldn't... Yeah. Last time I got 8, and this time I was like, I need more. And so she only gave me 10.
You don't have lines. You don't have 11s. You don't have any of it. You don't need more. Unless you're really going for, like, the Nicole look. You really want to look, like, shellacked. You want the Britney Spock brow. Like, then I would get more. But,
or the, I just want to look like I like watching movies, like Nicole.
Yeah, you come to this place for magic, face. No, like, if a baby came in for Botox, that would be, like, 10 units. That's your max.
And that's a movie I'd watch, Baby Botox.
Baby Botox.
Our Botox baby.
Yeah. The sequel to Boss Baby.
Yeah. It's just a high-powered baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to get into
it.
Remains to be seen if we'll leave that in. Okay, so, yeah. So this Ramona, the big questions that Michelle and I had about Ramona going into this were, number one.
What is true faith?
What is true faith? Number two, where does the money, what's going on with the money? Mm-hmm. Number three, we just really wanted to break down the timeline of the Mario cheating. And number four, we wanted to learn more about her insane book, Life on the Ramona Coaster. So that's really what we're going to focus on here. So let's start with Ramona. Where does the money come from? Ramona Singer was born in 1956. Her name was Ramona Mazur, like Debbie Mazur.
Oh my God.
Cool?
They could be sisters.
I wish. That would be a good movie.
I know. But Debbie Mazur, I don't believe is from upstate New York.
But then what's her accent from? Jersey?
Yeah. They don't sound like that upstate.
Yeah, she's a Jersey girl, or Long Island.
Long Island.
Yeah, Ramona grew up in Poughkeepsie. She went to Roosevelt High School. And actually, Ramona does have a sister who was in the news.
Uh-oh.
Ramona's sister, she wrote a book the same year Ramona did, also about, like, childhood, upbringing, her life. But she is a recovering addict.
Hello.
Her book is called Cocaine and Champagne, Road to My Recovery, which is such a good title.
Is that on Audible?
Sorry. I know, yeah. I hope if Ramona narrates that audiobook.
I need her, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, Michelle Williams will not be getting the Grammy this year.
Also, Kirsten Dunst has a memoir coming out, which I'm stoked for. Anyway, in this book, Mazur, she talks about, you know, a lot of what, like, Ramona talks about on the show, that, you know, her dad was always yelling at her mom, calling her mean things. He was so arrogant and condescending to all of us. They were all scared of him. And also, he was an alcoholic and he encouraged them to start drinking at, you know, like a super, like 12, like but in friggin' Star Is Born.
Wasn't Pinot Grigio.
Maybe that's why.
And here's the wild.
It was Pinot, champagne, cocaine.
And here's the wild thing. Here's the wild part about what you just said is the way that you delivered it was like the way that I delivered talking about like my grocery store. Like we need like milk, we need eggs, we need, and you're like yelling.
Well, because I was like, is this too dark to like start with? So I like, I, you know, there was darker stuff. So I like, that was like the laundry list I decided wouldn't be too messed up.
It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, like the fun laundry list, you know, like Bill Cosby, like, you know, starting off on a good note. Okay, so then we'll put her high school picture also here in the YouTube and on our Instagram. Check it out. And she looks exactly the same. Like, she was so pretty.
Yeah, she looks amazing. Like, the Pinot Grigio really preserved her.
Yeah, it's like a formaldehyde, you know? Okay, so then a lot of this I pulled from her book. So the timelines are a little wonky compared to
records. Did you read it?
I read excerpts. So she graduated from FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology.
Yeah, that's a really famous school.
Mm-hmm. She says she was the first female graduate of the 4-year honor program. So like usually it's like I think you get an associate's of arts degree, but she was one of the first female to get the bachelor degree when they first started offering bachelor degrees. And she said she got it by simply going to the dean and convincing him to admit her to this very exclusive honors program. And I want to know what that conversation was. Yeah.
I simply
convinced him. Yeah, like I wonder, like, because she was in sales too. After that, she was in sales for like French Connection and Calvin Klein. And I wonder if like she was still like gangbusters, like bug eyed Ramona back then, and people would just say yes to her because they were like,
are you gonna keep like talking to me this way? Like, why are you wearing these jeans with the crystals on the ass? I'll do it.
Yeah. So then she becomes a trainee and then a buyer at Macy's in 1985. This is where her timeline is very strange. She's a float designer. No, she for clothes. Then the next year at 29 in 1986, she loses her job. And she breaks up with her fiance, and she says famously on the show that her fiance was Jewish. She was converting for him, but he never said thank you. And that was a big part of the breakup.
He said shalom, and she was like, I don't know.
I don't know what that means. We haven't gotten there yet.
I don't know her.
So then she moves in with a roommate and spends her last $5,000 on a Golden Isle fox fur coat because it complements her hair. And she says that was a great decision because Mario called her the next day. So here's where it gets a little
confusing.
Really confusing. So she says she started seeing Mario in 1986, and then they started their company together, RMS Fashions, their wholesale fashion company together that year too. But Manhattan court records show a 1987 marriage license between Ramona Mazur and wealthy plastic surgeon and friend of Roni, guy who's been on the show a lot, Dr. Howard Sobel. Isn't that so weird? Like, she never mentions it on the show.
She didn't mention it at all.
And there's like, I don't know if they ever got married. Like, she never went by his last name or anything, but they did apply for a license.
Interesting.
I'm like, is there some kind of law where you can only perform surgery on, like, you can't, a double jeopardy law, or you can't testify in front of your wife if
or
she
maybe that's
performs
why she
surgery.
Looks so good and she's never aged. He did maybe some experimental surgery on her,
like a Death Becomes Her.
Yeah,
he was like Bruce Willis.
You have to marry me to get it.
Yeah, I mean that it is speculated that that's like the source of her wellspring of eternal youth, but I'm like, why do they never talk about that? So
there's just too much going on in the show.
Yeah. I'm like, but it's, and it's like, he's American. So it's not like he's like a Canadian guy who needed a green card or something.
Those are the only guys that need green cards.
Canadians.
Famously.
The
brawny, they brawny man.
Brawny Paper Towel Man. He is there at the what's the hotel they always go to in Roni to pick up groupies?
The Carlisle? No. I've been there. Oh my god, where Tom fucked up.
Yeah. Well, he's there. He's there with all the it's a bunch of Canadians looking for a marriage and a hot meal. Mm-hmm. And okay, so then yeah, it's just crazy because like he is Tinsley's plastic surgeon. Like, he gives her Botox on the show to treat her TMJ. He is like the go-to dermatologist for Bethany. Like, it's wild.
He's a great guy.
Wild that this never comes up or is explained, maybe even just to cover her ass.
Maybe all of them have a marriage license with him. So maybe. Get on the show.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He was the original Tom.
He was the original Tom.
Yeah, he kind of was, maybe. At least in terms of like having been inside all of the women with his hypodermic needle.
Let me pick that jaw of yours.
So then, yeah, she starts her wholesale clothing business, RMS Fashions Incorporated, with Mario. Her father lent her the $70,000 to start the business, but she says she paid him back within a month plus interest. And it's also speculated that he connected her with her distributor because her mom and dad apparently also ran a wholesale distributing business. Again, there's not nearly as much stuff on her as there is Bethany because neither of her parents were like celebrities. But yeah. So this is all, take all of this with a grain of salt. This is all just like the rumor and nastiness mill. So Mario, this is true. He comes from a family with a successful trophy business.
Nice.
That he was working for a part of the time when he met Ramona. And he was also obviously working as like a tennis pro at the club and doing tennis. It's a classicmedalics.com. A trophy business, so smart because, you know, that's always going to be in business because everybody gets a participation trophy.
I know. You got to get in the ribbon business.
Hell yeah.
I want to make ribbons.
Yeah. For all these, you know, snowflake kids.
Yeah.
It's actually very hypocritical that a lot of Ramona's money came from the trophy business when she's such a bootstraps conservative.
Right.
Pointing that out. So, yeah. So I think that, like, since he was kind of like, you know, a rich kid working, doing tennis, like, I think starting that business with Ramona gave him a real sense of purpose. And they were partners together,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So in the 90s, we know from Roni, she briefly did bodybuilding and bodybuilding modeling.
been so fit.
She takes good care of her body. And she wrote like a hilarious article for Cosmo too. I mean, it's clearly very ghost written, but she's like, it's like, if you're waiting for a man like Kevin Costner with buns like that, honey, he'll never come. Start giving people your number. It's like so nice.
She's always been so good at flirting though, really.
Yeah, yeah. She and Luann, they were just born with game. Born gorgeous, born with game. So she married Mario in 1992. His mom bought the Hamptons house in 1994, and they lived with her there and in her Fifth Avenue apartment. I'm not sure if it was like just that he was close with his family or if his mom was getting older or if they were just like saving money for the business. Nothing on that. So she gives birth to Avery at the age of 38. And then in 2005, she starts True Faith Jewelry. Okay. So the true faith of it all. So the trophy business that they have actually started as a religious jewelry business.
That is a pivot.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like, you know, now all the kids, instead of getting, you know, Star of David and cross necklaces when they win a karate tournament.
Everyone has to feel included.
Everyone has to feel included. So they all get, you know, secular trophies.
Yeah, exactly.
But that, so it's
this
like,
is
that's
my Kwanzaa trophy.
So that's like why they got into it. They already, you know, his family already had connections. They had like, you know, production, you know, it was easy for them to re-enter that. And it's not as commonly derided. People are like, it's a cheater brand for true religion. And it's like, no, the designs might be, but the singers did have a background in religious jewelry. So then in 2009 to 2010, she sold two jewelry connections on Home Shopping Network. In 2009, her father died, and she and her sister were written out of his will. Like, for real. Like, not, you know, just
crazy.
Bethany saying that. Her sister, sorry, her sister says Ramona, like, she was like, I think Ramona, he wrote her out just because it was like, you know, I think part of it was contention, but also she didn't need the money. She already was doing really well.
Yeah.
But
she'd already paid off her daddy.
Yeah, but her sister was a lesbian.
And oh, God.
Her dad was like a big, you know, like Polish or Ukrainian American religious guy. And he hated that she was gay. And she thinks it was like a final fuck you, which is so sad.
That's so sad. It
makes me boil up. So then 2010, Ramona starts True Renewal Skincare. It goes under pretty quickly. And then she relaunches the same line in 2018 as Ageless.
Ageless by Ramona. I mean, she's always had great skin.
Yeah.
Which is actually amazing considering how much she drinks.
It's crazy. I think her thing, part of her secret, other than the marriage to Dr. Sobel, is she is not a big filler girl. She is more of a, like, I feel like laser, like IPL, all the stuff that's more resurfacing, all the stuff that's more popular now that we're pivoting away from filler, you know, microdermabrasion. I think she's been doing all of that stuff a lot.
We've seen it on the show. We saw her before they went to the Mexico trip. She had just done that intense laser. So her skin, she's like, I have like the skin of a baby, but it was like she looks like a burn victim.
Yes. Yeah. And it peels away all the bad skin and releases the good skin.
Trying to talk to her and have a real moment. She's like, I couldn't even look at her. She looked like a cheese pizza with like the pepperoni coming out.
Yeah, I think that, and then I think she gets a good facelift every 10 years,
too. She has really good doctors who are like, do this, not that.
Yes, yes. I think, like, the staying away from filler was just so smart of her. So then, 2011, she starts Ramona Pinot Grigio. So she's really kind of juggling all of these businesses, and then she says her reason for disbanding a lot of them in her book is the final straw came when the HSN jewelry line got sold at a much higher price point than Ramona was anticipating or had planned. And she's like, even I wouldn't pay $1,000 for my own jewelry. And I'm 10% of wealth. So then she was like, okay, no more on the jewelry, backing off the, you know, the becoming more of a spokesman for the Pinot, letting go of the True Renewal will wait and bring it back as Ageless.
When I turned 60 and everyone's like, I can't believe you're 60. This is crazy.
You look
unbelievable. What's your secret? Let me tell you.
Honestly, she and Bethany are really similar. Like, I think Bethany is like way more of a hustler. And I think that Ramona had more like work experience working for other people. Like, Bethany was an entrepreneur, I think, like from the get-go, even though she also just had a short-lived wholesale.
Well, because like also who would want Bethany as an employee?
Yeah, she really
can't. She's really
who would want Ramona as an employee?
Be a lot. I mean, I can't imagine either of them sitting in a cubicle doing spreadsheets. Can you?
Yeah, I can't imagine having a performance.
Well, they're guzzling their like, you know, skinny girl and Ramona Pino doing your spreadsheets.
Oh my God. Yeah, having them, they would not be a fun time at lunch.
I
would rather watch as a fly on the wall. I wouldn't want to have to.
I know. Engage. I can imagine working with them and be like, hey, can you help me with the sales tax report? That's what I do for a living.
They're like, why would I support you? You don't support other women. everything would just be a confrontation, I feel. Probably why Ramona, if her timeline is correct, was fired within a year of getting her promotion from, like, trainee to paid worker at, what's it called? Macy's? No, what was it?
Macy's. No, true. RMS. RMS, no.
Yeah, Macy's. I don't know why I didn't trust myself. Okay. So then in 2015, she releases her book, Life on the Ramona Coaster.
Which she names after everyone on the show, calling her Ramona Coaster because she goes from 0 to 100 really quickly. And she's very emotional, very mean, very insane.
But she's, you know, owning it. How do you feel about people when it's like a catchphrase like Giovanni? That someone has given you as a
and
read.
And you take it.
And you take it. What do we feel about the IP situation with that? Intellectual property.
I think if you say it and it really does embody that person, And everyone, when I hear Ramona Coaster, I think of Ramona. I don't think of the person who said it. When I see, think of Giovanni, I think of Luann. I don't. No, I do think. Really? Of, I do think of Dorinda.
And with Ramona Coaster,
thank you,
I think
Giovanni.
Ramona Coaster, I think of Bethany and Ramona kind of equally.
I don't know. I guess I think of Ramona when I hear, because it's literally Ramona is in the name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really give a shit.
Do you think that caused?
If other people get pissed about it, like, hey, you're making a lot of money off of this. Like, I think Dorinda did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess because Luann made that song one day at a time. Giovanni. Listen, whatever.
Whatever.
Bethany has lots of money. This is a dumb thing for her to get mad about. Did she get mad about that?
I feel like she didn't. It's not like, I think she was too, it was like around the same time as Tipsy Girl. And so she was more pissed
more
about
that. She's more mad about that. Which she should be.
Yeah, it's a cheater brand.
It's a cheater brand, which that's the first time we all learned about what a cheater brand was.
That's true. She has introduced a lot of like
economic
and
terms.
Legal terms to the masses.
Yeah.
The Bethany clause. So then in 2018, another source of income for her is renting out her Southampton's mansion for $165,000 a month.
We are just talking about all of her revenue streams.
All of her revenue streams, just so it makes sense, because it's like, you know, for
where does she have her money? It just seems like she's hanging out in St. Bart's drinking all of the time.
Yeah, well, and she was worth, you know, $20 million for most of, like,
crazy.
The late 20-teens, 2020s. But I'm like, okay, it's kind of adding up with, like, the show, how much she was making from the show, renting it out. Like, I think she probably had, like, a good chunk of change from
RMS
Fashions.
And then also, like,
Fashions.
These women are also doing, like, they're getting endorsements.
Promotions, endorsements. Yeah, I mean, Ramona's book, which we will read some passages later, it was basically like all ad space. Like, it's just basically her talking about like Sharon Greasel, plastic surgeon to the stars, and like this like bar, patio bar she likes, she keeps coming back to and talking about, like, with 3,200 square feet, it's a perfect place to get away. Like, she's very Bethany in that, like, she uses her celebrity for sponsorships, and that's
for good.
Of, a big part of her business. Yeah, for good.
She uses her celebrity for good.
For the good of the people. So then off screen, she was sued in 2018 by a company that gave her an assistant. According to Reality T, Lisa Tobbs agreed to work 20 hours per week for $4,000 a month. Oof. But she found herself working longer hours for free, being on call 24/7. She quit and refused to sign an NDA. And Ramona grabbed her purse and threw out the contents.
Wow, how Naomi Campbell of her. Listen, I feel like all of the women could have, like, really taken a lesson from Sonia Morgan, which is have all of these
interns.
Unpaid interns.
Yeah.
And let them be on Smart. TV for like 12 seconds and it counts as a TV credit for them.
Yeah. But I think the problem is the barrier of entry. Like Simonia. Sonia will just be like,
clean my toilet.
Yeah. Anyone. Well, she's like, oh, college students, because they'll think that they're getting college credit. And so then it's like, they're young. They're too young to know better.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ramona and Bethany, you know, want someone qualified and then I want to make their lives hell.
Miserable.
My big thing is, why didn't Ramona have them sign the NDA before? That is such an amateur move. You know, Bethany has never made that mistake.
She's never made that mistake. So we never hear about her. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Other than, like, she gives us so much.
Well, that she doesn't share, like, you know,
yeah,
just openly. Like, you don't hear, it's like, you know, you never hear from any of her former employees.
That's
And I'm
true.
Sure there's a lot of disgruntled employees, kind of
God.
What happens with all of the, I hate to say it, Meghan Markle.
Oh,
there was
really?
Just an expose about them in Vanity Fair.
Oh.
I'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later. Okay, because I do want the tea on that. So then like, around that time too, Ramona also becomes a realtor for like a few years at Douglas Elliman.
Douglas Elliman. Who else is at Douglas Elliman? Lots of famous. Frederick is Douglas Elliman.
Oh, really? Was Kelly Douglas Elliman? Kelly?
Yeah. I think she still is Douglas Elliman. I keep up with their real estate licenses. I think she's really successful too. I hear that Kelly does really well. She does really well.
I think it all comes back to, like, they're
who you
all
know.
Kind of doing the same thing, where it's like they're using their celebrity to leverage actual work.
Oops.
Which,
I mean,
like,
they know a lot of rich people.
Yeah, and I don't think that's any to go back to Bethany, she positions herself as like better than all of them, but it's like,
yeah, but she's
really
the same.
All kind of doing the same thing, and like, it doesn't, no one deserves less respect for it. I mean, I think, like, hey, get your coin. Like,
yeah,
reality TV isn't forever, so
no.
It's good to use it to get the coin while you can.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's return to life on the Ramona Costa for a few fun passages before we take a break. So the way that she gets hooked up with Roni, she describes in the book, was Dr. Sharon Gracie, everyone's favorite plastic surgeon and an expert on natural anti-aging procedures, is her title every time she talks about her. Hooks Ramona up with the Roni producers. Producers had also seen her at a party hosted by my friend Pamela Morgan, who owns a culinary business called Flirting with Flavors, and then describes the business and another commercial. And she's like, apparently they tried to track me down, but they couldn't find me, even though Jill Zarin, who was also at the party, also could have told them how to contact me. Lots of shade at Jill in the book.
Yeah.
Ramona also refused to sign the show's contract until the producers agreed to FedEx her the demo tape for the show, which she decides is totally adorable. And then she agrees to do the show. But then she's like, no, actually, I don't want to do the show. I don't need to be famous. I'm already popular with my friends. I already have a successful business. I already have a full life. And then she tells the producers, I really don't do big charity events anymore. Like these, you know, unemployed bitches, losers. That's not really where I'm at anymore. She prefers to go to dinner parties for 15, 30 people tops, which later, I guess the number will go up to 50 of her closest friends. The producers agree to accommodate her where, I guess, you know, no dinner parties with more than 30 people. And then she agrees that she will film the show as a way to showcase Mario's True Faith jewelry sites, and that so Avery can learn how to build a business from the ground up.
And by the ground up, she means from her penthouse in the Upper East Side.
That's what I don't like about her and Avery, is that, like, I'm like, even you guys are acting like you're above reality TV. Like, how do you have the Bethany disease? Like, you love Avery, it. You were born for it. Both.
Yeah,
of them,
she
I
has
think.
Her batch. Yeah. Is that still a business for her? Batch business? Batch?
Yeah.
Batch?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Avery has gotten into a lot of trouble as of late with Bravo fans.
And she got fired from her, like, business job.
Well, I think she actually left Morgan Stanley, to do the batch.
He was an asshole.
Yeah, and she talks about, like, how hard it was for her to find jobs in finance because everyone was prejudiced against me because of reality TV. It didn't give me a leg up. It was actually, like, much harder. And, like, you know, people hate me just because I'm good TV. Like, she thinks she's Ramona.
Yeah, no, Kendall Jenner said the same thing about being a model.
And also, she thinks she's better than Kendall Jenner. She shouts her out specifically, and she's like, I'm not like those other Nepo baby celebs with their duck face selfies. Like, I'm actually making my way in the world. Everyone thinks they're different from each other in reality TV, and they're all the same.
It's like, Avery, we barely remember you from the show.
And can I say something?
She's boring.
I never liked her. Everyone was like, poor Avery, parentified, da da da. I'm like, she's going to grow up and be Ramona.
She's annoying.
She's so annoying. Like, I do feel bad for her for being parentified.
We prefer Jill's daughter, Allie. She's been through some stuff.
And she, you know, again, she's smart, using her resources to, you know, I mean, I guess so is Avery. Really, everyone's the same.
Everyone is.
gotta get the coin and let's make capitalism hell.
Even if you're already guaranteed coin.
Yes. Yeah. From generational wealth. Okay, a few other fun passages from the book. Ramona describes how she cured her mother's cancer with coenzymes and shark cartilage.
We love it.
That's extremely our shit.
Oh my God. The stuff that I'm listening to right now is so unhealthy.
The insane pseudoscience podcast.
I found
We'll get into it later. We'll get into it off air. So we also learned that Ramona tried to hide her boob job for the first season by telling everyone she'd been doing push-ups. Hilaria Baldwin.
Hello. Yeah, and much like Hilaria, her boobs have a Spanish accent.
Yes.
They know how to flamenco dance.
Yes. Yeah. They're always turtle timing. So it's really funny in the book. She drags everyone, but she really drags Alex and Simon. And she's like, right after I met them, I was like, I don't like Alex. She's not an independent career woman like the rest of us. And then later she realizes, like, I had such a visceral, hateful reaction to them because I have trauma around Brooklyn because me and my mom stayed in Brooklyn once with a family member to escape my father.
We'll take a break.
Yes.
Sorry, Brooklyn. It's quiet for you.
Okay, so let's get into the divorce next, and then I think
that's pretty much the good stuff. The affair.
Okay, ready? Oh, sorry, dog.
Yes. Oh, hold on. Let me do one. I have to respond to one person at my office because it's like I'm pretending to still work. It's been so nice. I haven't even had to take Adderall.
Oh, that's great.
I'm taking like a, and you take a little bit of a break from it, but I've just been like working out, listening to my crazy munchies. It's really good. I've been listening to Ariel Laurie's podcast. I'm listening to an episode where she has this like crazy fitness influencer, and they're both talking about having toxoplasmosis, which is very rare blood parasite.
You get that from eating cat shit while you're pregnant?
Yeah. And isn't it crazy that we both had it?
What are the odds?
So the
same right odds now, as like people getting a whole family getting Lyme disease.
Right. So they've had that.
Of course.
Yeah. So they're just like working through that right now, like trying to, you know, get their strength back after having all these swollen lymph nodes and this blood parasite.
So brave.
And it's been really hard for Ariel Laurie because she's been in St. Bart's recently and she's been having to eat low histamine.
Wow. Okay. I do need to take a listen.
It's so good.
It's like a...
It's so good. Yeah, she's eating low histamine. It's been really hard. And she's been, you know, remodeling her house. And that's been stressful.
All the mold, all the chemicals could cause the MCAS to flare up.
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
But then also there's all these fires going on in LA. And that's been really stressful for her. And so like the episode that Jason was in my car the other day. And I was like, I was just listening to it. And she was talking about eating low histamine. And he was just like, oh my God, Michelle, like you can't, this is so crazy. And then she's talking about the fires and that she hasn't been affected. But she did text Chuck Lorre, her ex-husband, and he sent her a picture of like, he lives in the Palisades, so he sent her a picture of like the fires coming towards his home, and she fucking used that as the thumbnail on her YouTube. And then she was like, it was really hard because like he didn't lose the main house, but he did lose like our former guest home.
Oh my, wow, this is actually the perfect segue if we do leave it in to Ramona's
Mario's
much younger mistress.
She talks about having seizures.
She does?
She had like a really bad addiction for a long time and she was in and out of rehabs and she was having multiple seizures. Yeah.
Damn. Was it at benzos?
It was like her seizures, I think, were, from detox.
Benzo withdrawal. Yeah.
Benzos, Adderall, cocaine, alcohol.
Delirium tremens will give you seizures.
Well, and so that's where she met Chuck Lorre, was not rehab, but they met at AA.
I didn't know he was in the program.
Anonymously. Oh. She talked about
Chuck L. My ex-husband, Chuck L.
She's hold like, on, I'm not going to say where I met him at a 12-step program. An anonymous
I won't say which one.
So yeah, she's just working on healing.
Okay. You've sold me.
It's so a great good, ad. It's so good. Look at this glow. I'm so happy. It's from not eating histamines.
Yeah. I'm tired of my
seasoning.
Upper middle class munchies.
No,
from,
you gotta
like,
go
rich
for
families.
The
I need to go
well,
for the
rich yeah. bitch. There's nothing like rich bitches talking about a blood parasite.
What I'm so excited.
Your brain is
you know
so
what
special.
Would be a good litmus test for more Munchausen's content is if we do a Yolanda deep dive and see if we are skewered for it or not. Let us know if you'd be interested in that, folks. You know,
we
want to explore the allegations around Munchausen's.
That we didn't say. Lisa Rinna said that.
It was already out there, so we just want to look into them. It might be a field that we have done, a little research. Maybe we've read the book from Dr. Mark Feldman, the leading expert in factitious disorder and discoverer of Munchausen's by internet. Maybe
been a former munchie.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I literally have been that person.
This is why I like look up to you so much.
Yeah, I'm your
this
sister.
Is why you're the alpha.
Your sister in Christ, but it's sister in crisis.
Yeah. It's like as a hypochondriac, I could only aspire to have the bravery to
I've
fully
been
punch.
Hospitalized.
These girls are having a break.
talking about Ramona.
Let's talk about Mario's affair. So in her book, Ramona says that once Ramona got on the show, there was a change in Mario. Like, he was jealous. She was making more money. He was kind of on the show. It's not really clear how much they're business partners. It seems more like he's a tennis pro and she's supporting him.
Which, like, kind Paula, of. Yeah, she supports other women and she supports Mario Singer.
Yeah, girl boss. That's like gatekeep girl boss.
She's the reason that term exists.
She invented it.
It's for women like, yeah, they're like.
Elizabeth Holmes watched Ramona and she was like, let me pop my eyes and do my voice even weirder because this is my.
I'm a boss, babe.
I can do a mean Elizabeth Holmes being a kind of weird looking white lady with a deep
do
voice.
Do it. Do say a Ramona Singer catchphrase, but as Elizabeth Holmes. Say you don't support other women as Elizabeth Holmes.
You don't support other women.
The fucking chills.
The fucking chills. Okay. So some speculate that Mario, become resentful, jealous, they've grown apart, and that he was stepping out before she busted him, or he got busted eventually after season 6.
Weren't there some clues on the show? So she had her renewal, which was very famous, her renewal, whatever, they had their vow
renewal
leading up to it was the scary island, so that gave us a lot of fodder. But there would be like episodes, like I remember an episode where she would like, we're still so hot for each mm-hmm. other, and it's like a night she's trying to give him a massage and he's like, Ramona, like that hurts, like stop. And it's like they're playing like sexy music and it's like it's literally the opposite of Tamara and Eddie's sex tape that we've seen on OC.
Yeah. Those were like
Mario's
who...
like, stop touching me, Ramona, and she's like, he loves when I give him a massage like this and he loves my feet, and he's like, like, stop.
Really, this was something I was so wrong. I thought they were so hot for each other those early seasons. Like, I really didn't get it at all. I thought he was like a good.
Well, and then they would like later they would show clips of him being like very flirty and almost like Tom-esque mm-hmm. of like, you know,
performing, like, being
have
hot
this
for
ring
her.
On my finger.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. There were definitely clues. The biggest clue was probably the psychic in season 4.
Oh, God.
Which
also,
is some...
I'll say this about really quick. Sorry to interject.
Mm-hmm. No, please.
For the viewers. Oh, Mario was always like, I always thought he was the hottest of all of the husbands.
He's
like,
so
Mauricio
hot.
Couldn't even hold a candle to Mario.
I completely agree. Yeah, Mario,
he's
so
always
hot.
Got that, he's charming. Always got that Palm Beach glow.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's just like, you can tell that like he spent his just like fucking every mill in the country club, teaching him tennis. Like, it's like he learned like the Lothario Cortisette.
He always looked
he's
really
in the
good.
Art room,
yeah.
You know,
I was like, I just want to be
wasp
in his
love.
Yeah, I just want to be in his glow.
Yeah, he's super, super hot and charismatic.
Yes.
So some people think that the cheating part of that glow was because he was getting it on the side, and that Ramona, it flared up or like it started to leak in season 4. So season 4, we have Ramona's pregnancy scare at,
oh God,
like, you know, 48 years old. And famously, whenever there's a pregnancy scare or storyline on the show with a perimenopausal or postmenopausal woman, it's they're trying to hide something else. We see Judas's.
Should we reenact the psychic scene?
Okay,
I'll be the psychic. You can be Ramona.
Okay.
I see. Okay. So, okay. Before we set, let's set the scene. They're in Morocco on a girls' trip and they're talking to a psychic. I see another woman.
I think that means I'm going to have a baby. That's what she said, right?
No, I see a woman, a grown adult woman.
No, like a little, oh, yeah. And is it crying and it's small?
There's crying from a woman. Yes,
and then Sonia weeping. Like, I'm worried for you.
Jill's like, oh, it's a and scene.
And seeing. So more credence to this rumor is that Ramona was filming with Alex and Sonia at one point in season 4, and she flipped out and hit a producer. Some reports say slap, some people say punch. And they had to shut down for 2 weeks because Ramona claimed it was like in defense because of like she was being attacked, unfairly treated and picked on by production. And so they have to, like, you know, shut it down, do an investigation, and then cameras back up again. They lost 2 weeks of that's a huge deal to be pushed back 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. NBC Brass probably was not happy.
No. And that would explain, I think, why even when it's happening in season six, it doesn't come up again, because they're so scared that, like, she's already been violent with Kristen in season six, probably again because of the cheating stuff coming out. And they're like, we just don't want her. You know, it's just not worth pushing back shooting to address this on camera.
Right.
So that is a theory. So then in mid-July, season six is being filmed and Mario's mistress is going around to parties showing people naked pictures of them.
Whoa.
So there's whispering already.
There's the rumors about the nastiness.
Yes, it's definitely going around. And then
it's all over the Upper East Side.
And we obviously see in season six, like, Ramona go to Heather's house in the Berkshires and is driven insane from PTSD and no air conditioner.
Oh,
throws the glass at Kristen Takeman, refuses to apologize, stages a PTSD meltdown in the woods in front of Carol so she can have a private plane pick her up.
Well, was this the wood scene where she talks about her upbringing?
Yes, where she's like, yeah. Oh, it's so weird. I'm being reminded, you know.
I'm being reminded. This leaf is just like my father's home.
Yes. So there's a theory that what really happened was, well, what did happen was 2 weeks ago, Mario had fucked his 35-year-old mistress, Casey Dexter, in public.
He was 64 at the time.
Yeah. In public on a pool lounger at Mark Leder's house. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. In front of Jill Zirin and Patty Stanger.
Hello.
So
two of a very, well, two very good friends with each other.
Yeah.
Not with Ramona.
Not with each. Yeah, not with Ramona.
Patty and Jill. I know that Patty and Jill are very, very close.
And that would explain why Jill would even be at a party like this. Like, Patty, I guess, I'm like, oh, she's recruiting for a millionaire matchmaker.
I think Allie's, like, godmother. They don't really do that in, like, Judaism, but, like, she's, like, that level with the family.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, yeah, they're so very, very close.
The reason that it's, like, we need kind of a justification of why Jill would be there is because Dr. Mark Leder, or not doctor, he's a hedge funder, but he's a really
good... That's very different.
Yeah, sorry. I mean,
we'll take a doctor, we'll take a hedge funder, but just those two.
Well, he's friends with, well, all of his friends are either doctors or hedge funders. His good friend is Dr. Lenny Hochstein, is why I got
Hello.
Confused.
Hello, good Jewish boy check.
So after Mark was cheated on by his 22-year-old wife with his tennis coach, he kind of went on a wild streak and he turned his Hamptons house into, like, the Playboy mansion for guys cheating on their wives. Like, which guys? It's just like a fuck pad where, like, you can cheat on your wife in public.
Hey, at the Hamptons, baby. Hello.
And somehow, I guess, according to reports, like, Patty and Jill got in there. Like, why would they allow Bravo? It's like, you're trying to keep it on the DL.
Right. Especially Patty Stanger, who is so desperate for any ounce of any sort of media attention. Like, she's not the person that you publicly bang somebody in front of.
Yeah. Which makes me think maybe she heard a rumor and just, she brings it up on Watch What Happens Live and says that that's what
it was the talk of. It was the talk of the Upper East Side. I remember I told you I read all of these articles in Page Six as it was happening. I was so captivated by this story. I know all of the stories of, like, Ramona's freaking out in public and stuff about it.
Yeah. We'll get there for sure. So then, yeah, the Post picks it up. It's still all rumors at this point, though. And so what's suspected is that Ramona, this is, like, a big fan theory, staged the PTSD thing, not just because she wanted to go to the cooler party in the Hamptons, the St. Bart's gala with Molly Sims. People think it's because, like, she was trying to catch Mario and Casey in the act at their Hamptons house, which Casey says she did catch them.
She did
in the
catch.
Act
That's that, where that they, she eventually caught them. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But Ramona's timeline in the book is that she didn't know about the affair at all until after shooting wrapped. And then she could sense Mario, something was wrong because
he didn't want to wear his ring out in public.
After the filming wrap. He used to always come after the after party to, like, you know, breakdown film about the season, and he didn't this time.
Yeah.
And then one time, I think she like catches him on the phone, and she like is like, maybe it's another woman.
Yeah.
But first, she says that he was like, actually, I'm deeply unhappy. I want to separate. And then months later, it's like the catching on the phone thing. And then she discusses it in therapy. He admits it. And then that just so happens to be like right before the big article breaks confirming it. The mistress, the abortion, all of that, and page right. 6. So two different timelines. I'm kind of more inclined to believe.
I think it's like a thing too. Like if it's happening, you're kind of turning a blind eye for a little bit of just like self-preservation. And, you know, it's like probably a lot of denial. Like,
yeah.
You know, we've been married for 25 years. We have a daughter. We have businesses together. He's been my partner. Like, maybe something's happening. If it is, maybe he'll get it out of his system type of thing. And it's not going to actually destroy our marriage. And then it was.
And I think like this is just reminds me so much of like Kyle and Mauricio. And like even a little Tom and Ariana, where it's like, I think that like there's one thing to like, you know, be in a long term, you know, relationship that's a business partnership and a marriage, and like kind of turning a blind eye, you know, mm-hmm. about like just like, you know, little malfeasance, indiscretions. Like, if I don't know, like personally, I don't judge them for this. Like, if I was, you know, in Hollywood and like had a sex drive, and I would be fine if Cam, like, you know, occasionally, but like for them to humiliate you on that level,
which Casey did humiliate Ramona,
humiliated her.
Like, she would go around, she was very open and blatant when she would go to restaurants. So, Casey is the mistress, she's the 30 something year old that Mario does end up, you know, this does destroy their marriage, and he stays with her. They live together and everything. Yeah. But she would go to all of the restaurants and bars that Ramona would go to on the Upper East Side.
And flip out.
Yeah, and she would taunt her relationship in front of Ramona. Ramona would go to the bathroom and have a full, like, panic attack, meltdown, and break shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one page 6 report that, like, you know, Ramona was at an Italian restaurant. Casey showed up. Mm-hmm. She was asked to leave. And then when she was asked to leave, she was like, actually, I just need to use the bathroom. And then lunged into the dining room. Manager grabs hold of her and she screams, you don't want me to tell her I'm still fucking her husband. And then Casey Dexter has a manager as well.
Yeah.
At this point, like, what's her talent?
Well, being with successful older men, because I say in that story that she had done this before.
Well, she's done this before, and then she does it
she
after.
She did it okay. after.
So yeah. let's first get into exactly what happens with her and Mario.
Yeah.
So Casey, when all of this breaks, she also like tells the press in August. So still while filming season 6 of Roni, Mario got Casey pregnant.
Yeah.
He paid for her abortion, and she says pressured her into an abortion. And so then when he stays with her, he like pays for her home in Boca. He's back and forth between there and New York and still paying for her place. She grows to resent him because he goes on a few trips with Ramona to try to like make it work and get back together. They go to St. Bart's.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is also when she's not talking about what's happening. I think this is around the time when she was doing the reunion and she was like, I'm shutting this down. Like, Andy was trying to ask her about like what's going on with her marriage. Mm-hmm. She was trying to fix it up. At that point. So she's like, I'm shutting it down. I'm not talking about it, Andy. And he's pretty pissed about that.
Yeah.
It was a really big story. There are so many stories about this.
Yeah, dude. And so it's crazy. So then she, especially mostly because like the mistress is like, doesn't care about looking like shit. She's sending this.
Did
you hear about how I went crazy and stalked Ramona? So like page 6, you know?
Yeah. And
Yeah, like that's what her manager is for, to send the stories of her freaking out.
Sure that she's getting paid for those stories.
Yeah, yeah. And she was someone who, like, in interviews, she talks about she's always wanted to be a kept woman. She doesn't want to work. She was really just looking for, like, to start a family with Mario. So after the abortion, and after it ends up not working out with Ramona and he stays with the mistress, she is really wanting a family, and he gets a vasectomy without telling her. And so that like makes things more strained, plus the fact that he's like, she's still a mistress to him. Clearly he comes to live with her some of the time, but he's also like being a co-parent, like obviously values his relationship with, you know, the mother of his child
right.
and his daughter more, which he should, you know.
They were estranged for a long time, but I feel like Ramona and Mario, they found their way back to each other. I think they were like really good friends for a long time.
They quarantined together.
Yeah, they did, which is crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. But anyway, then so he installs hidden cameras in their house.
Yeah.
Because he feels like she's cheating on him.
She might be cheating on him.
She is. He catches her.
Wasn't it in the Hamptons house? Or was it a different Boca house?
Yeah. That's where she lived. West Palm. West Palm and Boca, I think they're the same thing.
They're different.
Well, they lived in Boca. Sorry. I only know because I watched her whole Boca YouTube interview, and it was like she's a piece of work.
Yeah.
So she this is like really messy. Like when he catches her, he's like, okay, you've got 30 days to leave the house. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not going to leave. He calls the cops. The next day, she still hasn't left. She calls the cops and is like, I'm scared of him. I don't know what he'll do. This is my house. And the police were like, well, you know, he can't like physically throw you out right now. Like, it is your house. She calls Ramona a loser. And I'm like, how did you even bring that in? And so then finally, I think the police do like escort her off. And then she comes back like 2 weeks later with the police escort to get her stuff. So really messy. All the 911 phone calls are leaked to the press. Like, just all so messy and humiliating, you know?
What's her family think?
So I think let's go back a little on this. It's like pure fatal attraction to me, like in real life. Like, so she went to LSU and then she moved to New York City to be like a model, actor, personal trainer. So then she had an affair with her married boss around like 27, 28, 29. Well, she was a trainer at a gym, but it has a restaurant like name.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she was stalking him after they broke up, calling, emailing incessantly, showed up to his house. He got a protective order. Then she checks into a mental health facility. Mm-hmm. And then when she comes back, she sues the gym and her boss because she says her boss tried to make her have sex on all of the gym equipment.
The equipment,
was her complaint. It was like, I'd rather have just done it in a bed. You know, also that like he pressured her to keep her job or whatever, but it was like deemed to be a frivolous lawsuit. And she, you know, it was thrown out. Then right on the heels of that lawsuit being thrown out, she finds Mario. Then after Mario ends, right after that,
Christie Brinkley's husband.
She sends to the press that she had a 5-day affair with Peter Cook, who is Christie Brinkley's ex-husband, who 10 years before had left Christie Brinkley because he cheated on her with an 18-year-old.
Yes.
He is 62 at the time of the affair with Casey. And so she says, I'm telling the press about this because I want to make Mario jealous. He flew me to the Hamptons so we could fuck for 5 days straight. He said that even though I'm too old for him, he's falling in love with me. He talked shit about Christie Brinkley the whole time, which I wasn't cool with. So Peter Cook denies all this because, I mean,
he's like, and again, she's like still crazy about him. And he's like not answering her calls.
And so then she releases topless photos of her at his house to the press.
Like one does,
right. I mean, you know, shouldn't have, you know, she will not be ignored, Dan.
She's not the one. She's about to boil a bunny. Be careful. Yeah.
And like, I don't want to be too dismissive. This definitely does seem like she's mentally unwell and this is a pattern of behavior. But these men could be also like, you know, because she's mentally unwell.
Yeah.
Well, they could be her grandpa, but they could be like abusive or like shitty towards her, which makes it all worse for
like,
sure.
I have the money. I have the power. I have all of the things. Like, you are just one of many women, probably.
Yes. So it's like, I'm not like, they aren't victims of her or anything.
Yeah.
Like, they all were horrible too, and probably treated her horribly. So it's like, no wonder she's vindictive and wants to go to the press. Like,
right.
But the vindictiveness she feels towards all the ex-wives, I think, is a little misplaced for her to like keep.
Well, yeah, because there's kids.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little, you know, little cavalier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Sorry, hot take. So,
but we do appreciate all of the Page Six articles.
We really do. Yeah, we appreciate that. And also it's like, even though I felt like before really like looking into this, that Ramona was more forthright about Mario's affair than like a lot of housewives have been about. You know, Kyle still won't admit Mauricio cheated on her.
Kyle's never admitted anything in her entire life on that show except about her sister's alcoholism. And that's the only thing she's ever publicly talked about.
Yeah. And like, you know, EJ won't admit, you know, like there's like plenty of stuff that are Jen Shaw. There's plenty of stuff people won't admit at all, especially a lot of cheating stuff. Yeah. Like PK and Dorit, they're going through a divorce. They're not even getting into like cheating stuff.
People are just like, wow, she's mentioning it all because she's smoking a cigarette.
I know. People are, they lap it up. Anyway, so yeah. So I was like, oh, I think she really like did, you know, was more vulnerable about this. But then I'm like, man, there's so much stuff that she was able to keep off camera. So props for addressing it. But also, man, would have loved to hear her talk some shit about Casey Dexter, even though that's, I guess, exactly what Casey Dexter wants is to, you know, have her name in the press. So I get why she didn't. Also, I think Ramona was very protective of Avery during this time, like for a year, apparently.
Yeah.
In her book, she says she just gaslit Avery. Or Avery's like, I'm reading, it seems like dad cheated. I'm reading this stuff about cheating. It seems like he's living with this woman. And yeah, it's like, she's not. And Avery's like, okay.
Well, finally. Why is this woman screaming at us at a restaurant, mommy?
Yeah.
She's not.
And yet Avery still, you know, blames Bravo for her parents' divorce, like blames whatever, not her dad. Hates reality TV so much, even though benefits from it. Don't bite the hand that feeds you guys.
Exactly.
I can see Avery. I think it would be totally fair if she was like, kids shouldn't be on reality TV. But it's like, that was your mom's choice. Like, again, misdirected, you know.
And like to put her kid on TV.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Oof. You know.
Okay.
That was fun.
So let's wrap it up with Ramona getting fired to end on a really dark note.
No.
Do you want to get into it or no?
But we can just do the cliff note. We'll just high level. The last season of original Roni was really bleak. They had their, and they, not because of this reason, but they did have their first Black cast member.
I do think that was a lot of it.
Yeah.
Was like, it was 2020. The show had neglected that. It's just showed an all white version of New York for so long, and they are being like criticized for what an oversight that is. So in an effort to rush it, as most networks do, they're like, okay, we're going to send in a journalist who's esteemed, and essentially she will not only be a cast member, but she will also teach them. Mm-hmm. She'll also be like an HR person, and she'll also absolve us of any responsibility for the viewers. So it's like she had way too much. She was just totally set up for failure because Bravo wanted to like, oh, let's rush this and like make sure that no one gets mad at us.
Right. Anyway. Yeah. So anyway, there was a lot she said and did really racist things off camera to the cast member, and the way that she spoke to producers, like it's documented.
Yes.
You can read it about it. And you can also read her trying to defend herself to page 6, where she says, I didn't say the N-word. And then she spells it. And so they were like, okay. And they took a screenshot and posted the article.
Yeah, which is like, you know, proof. It's like almost proof you did say it if you were kind of like
so
typing.
She rightfully was let go. And this was like, I think, just like the final sort of nail in the coffin. Like, viewers have sort of changed their appetite for this type of behavior. Well, we never had an appetite for it.
No.
But we sort of like looked over it, or there was like whispers about it. But this time it was like very, very blatant. But I feel like Ramona's just also, she's had a history of this. We've seen it on the show before, just the way that she would talk to wait staff or people working, you know, when she's out of in the when she's on a girls trip in another country, the way she treats people who she like treats them like they're beneath her, right?
Which she blames on her family, because she's like, well, my parents always treated.
She's like, I tipped them very well. And it's like, you still can't talk to people that way.
Yeah, she's just, I think she's so self-centered that like she can't help but see herself as a victim. Even the context in which she said the slurs was about how like, Shiksa being said to me is the same as if you were called a slur.
Oh,
you know, it's like
she
just can't imagine anyone having it as hard as she did. And anything she does is justified because she grew up in an abusive home, you know?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but she, and like part of the reason she was so fun to watch is because her brain is kind of emotionally stunted at like the age her trauma started. And she's like eternally a teenager with no impulse control. But the fact that she cannot adapt and learn lessons and grow and treat people with a modicum of respect or examine, you know, her biases is like also why she's just a liability, you know.
She's a liability. We don't really miss her on TV. We appreciate her contributions.
Yes.
Sayonara.
And I don't think she'll be coming back. No. Especially because I don't know, like
She did come back. She came back on Girls Trip.
Ultimate Girls Trip, yeah.
But she wasn't invited to. They shot that before and she was not invited to the BravoCon. BravoCon.
Yeah. Andy uninvited her. Yeah. Which is right move.
Right move.
So that's our expose on the singer stinger. That's what we should call it.
The singer stinger.
And we're maybe not as deep of a dive as Bethany, but because Ramona, Bethany, I think deep down knows the answers about herself, but Ramona, I don't think she remembers. I think when she says a lie, it's true to her. And, the timelines will always be murky. And she's just, trapped in a world of herself.
And we love that.
We love that. We love that for her. Don't want her on TV. She can just stay at Mar-a-Lago with Avery and have fun over there.
Yep.
All right. So at the end of the show, we always do an oral exam. That is a 1-minute essay on a pop culture topic of your choice that starts in this essay I will prove. Michelle, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove Lauren should probably read the Vanity Fair article about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. We've always been pro-Meghan. I think I still am, even after reading this expose, which didn't really expose too much, but it was just a lot of anonymous employees talking about their time working with Meghan since they've been in the United States. So since they've been in the United States, and this is not employees that they had with the firm, the royal family, they've left, they're now in America. They've had 20 people quit on them, and they have used terms describing her as a monster in heels, the Duchess Diva, that she doesn't take any sort of advice from anybody, which is why a lot of their businesses have failed. Harry doesn't really like anything except polo. And Meghan works really hard, but she, again, doesn't heed advice from others. And so, and then Harry doesn't do anything. So they're just sort of useless and flailing and don't know what to do with their careers in time.
Wow. So yeah, just typical rich kid stuff.
Well, I was like, okay, rich kid stuff. Yes, for Harry. I will say that there is something like having 20 people quit on you in a 4-year span is, that's a lot of people to quit on you.
But how big is their company? Because if it's like 500 people, I'm like, that's not crazy.
It's like, these are people that are like, it's not even with, it's like housekeepers and assistants. And, some of them are higher ranks and stuff. And they've tried, I guess she's trying to launch another business, but they can't get a CEO. It's called like American Riviera Orchard, and she named it after, they live in Montecito, which is, they call like the American Riviera, I guess, but people in Montecito also really dislike them. They call the couple, this was in the Vanity Fair article, like him the prince and her the starlet, and other famous people live in Montecito, but they don't talk about living in Montecito. And she always makes like a thing when she goes to a restaurant, like she calls ahead and she's like, we're gonna be here, and like that makes it a really big to do. But they say a lot more people who are a lot more famous than them don't do these sort of things, and they've brought a lot of negative attention to the community.
So is it an old money versus new money thing with her?
I think that it's just like people are saying they're really difficult. I think it was more written from the perspective of like why they've been not so successful since they've been in the United States and sort of why that's happened, because her Spotify show was canceled. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that was kind of interesting. I guess they got paid, $40 million or something crazy from Spotify. And it was like 3 years and they hadn't produced any content and they didn't know what they were going to do. And then finally, like, they just sort of slapped something together. Harry was at that point not even really involved. And they called it archetypes, sort of based off of their son's name, Archie. Like, it was really sort of haphazard. It wasn't very good. She was apparently still kind of difficult to work with. A lot of people were like, this is how you do a podcast. Like, she'd never done a podcast. She never really interviewed people. Wouldn't take advice from anybody on how to do those things. Spotify cut ties. They ended up losing a lot of money with them. The same thing happened with Netflix, and it's actually happening right now. She had a show that, just recently, it was supposed to come out like a couple weeks ago, and it's her lifestyle show on Netflix. I guess she like cooks and gets lunch with Mindy Kaling. I'm not sure. But then she said that she was postponing it until March because of the wildfires. So she didn't want to do press for it, which like understandable. But then now there's like articles saying that it was really Netflix who has postponed it since this Vanity Fair article came out. And so it's again more negative press about Megan. So I don't think anything they're saying is like particularly like something you haven't really heard about her before, that she's just sort of difficult. But it's more just like, yeah, they're just not, they'd never take advice. They always think that they're right. And that, oh, I guess one of the bad things was that she's like the constant victim, and you know, it's always everyone's out to get her, but she'll never take accountability sort of thing.
Yeah, I do think that like I do think like the way she was so emotionally, I don't know, like they both were so emotionally traumatized after everything they went through. Probably like the first thing to do would not be starting their own business mm-hmm. from scratch and finding their passion and also making sure they show their side of the story. You know, like it's like just, you know, do something normal. You know,
yeah. And
you don't have your shit together because you just went through all that.
Kind of what they're doing now is like the people are like, well, you're just sort of royals for pay now, because they are still doing these like big engagements, kind of what the royal family does. And they go to like different parts of the world where
that's what they wanted to do.
The monarchy is still sort of like prevalent or whatever, which mm-hmm. is also kind of tacky.
Yeah,
so they're doing that now, but they're just it's kind of
tough.
But I think that she has fabulous style.
Yeah, well, lots of neutrals.
Yes, and she wears a lot of jewelry from Diana.
Actually, okay, that's gonna be mine. We'll get into this. Is like the only negative things we've ever said about Meghan Markle,
and I still think that she's great.
I still like her. Okay. In this essay, I will prove, watched the documentary, Harry and Meghan documentary, so this is kind of old news, and I was sympathetic towards them. I do think that they, you know, they clearly just really want control of their own narrative, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that those, it's kind of bad faith when people are like they say they don't want attention, but they want the whole South Park making fun of them or whatever. They're working through stuff, you know. Carrie's not the smartest, you know. It's just like a very emotional, therapeutic process, and they're figuring out how to monetize it,
right.
You know. But what I did not like was when they say that Meghan only wore neutrals because she was scared of wearing colors, or that like she felt firm discouraged it. And then it plays the Rolling Stones, She's a Rainbow, and it shows her in all these very different colorful outfits. And maybe she did have a colorful period to symbolize her, you know, like coming out. But like, really, that girl loves a neutral. She prefers a neutral.
There's nothing wrong with being a beige girly.
She's a California loungewear, luxe, minimalism.
Exactly.
You know, neutral,
quiet
girly.
Quiet luxury.
And it's like, I think it's stuff like that where they, where they clearly are spinning. When they get caught spinning, that's when people use it as fodder to be like, you lie about everything. What
exactly.
I don't think they do. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, what was that movie with the spinning top? I can't remember.
Inception.
Christopher Nolan. Yeah. This is Inception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't get it.
Yeah. This life is a dream within a dream.
God.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok if you still have it downloaded. Michelle does not.
I do not. I'm in hell.
At @Bravo_breakdowns. If you want to watch this episode on video, it's available on YouTube @Bravo_breakdowns. If you're watching it on YouTube, of course, at the end, we always show you our boobs. And tune in next week. We're going to be doing our Salt Lake City reunion recaps with a very special guest. And please comment and tell us if you want Michelle to watch Traitors so we can cover Traitors. Please. Or at least House of Villains. Students, I need you. I need you to have my back on this.
Bye.